Couple things happened this week. You've seen some of the slides. For some of you that weren't here and didn't know much about it, we had a gaggle of children here this last week. If you can imagine, the sanctuary was emptied of chairs, and we had about 25 or so children per night that showed up for our vacation Bible school. And so we had a wonderful time. I want to say an appreciation to Chris Steinbrecher and my wife Kathy for kind of heading that up. And then for all the workers that helped, that was tremendous, from whether you made snacks, whether you played with children, whether you taught children, whatever it was you did, the kids really appreciated it and loved it. I got a couple little hugs on the way home that night. It was kind of nice. Children had a good time. And you know, at the last day, several of the children prayed to give their heart to Jesus. You know, and I know sometimes we think, well, these children are too little to make that decision. Well, maybe they are, maybe they aren't. But you know, you bend their hearts that way. You start bending their hearts, and they learned, you know, they learn about Jesus, and they learn Jesus' love. And then maybe it doesn't take the first time. Maybe, you know, we all get scrambled in life and do this in life, and we failures, and you know, but they learn that Jesus is ready for the, if they're ready to come to Jesus, he's ready for them. So it's just important to give that to them. The other thing was, you know, they learned some things this week that made them, I think, smarter than some of our people in the court system. It made them smarter than probably half the Congress. And it made them smarter than the President of the United States, in my order, in my mind. Because, first of all, they learned that man and woman, but man, as the Bible says, was created in the image of God. And that he created male and he created female. They learned that. And there's a difference. And then they learned that man didn't come from a monkey. The second day they learned that everybody is special and important to God, whether it's the baby in the womb, such as when Mary carried Jesus and the baby in the womb, or whether it's the grandpa and grandma in the nursing home, or the child in the wheelchair, or there are those that can, you know, they learned it's God, they're special. God made them. The last thing they learned, because we only had 3 days, was the special baby born there in Bethlehem and how God gave his son so that we could be saved. That was a good 3 weeks or 3 days spent, wasn't it? And you know what? I believe they become wiser than a lot of the folks who think they're wise, because if they'll keep those things in their heart, they'll know the truth. So I want to thank everybody who's out here. I want to thank all the workers. I want to add that this week, let me make sure, there's a walking club tomorrow at 9 a.m. at Prairie Woods for those that like to walk. I think Chris Steinbrecher heads that up. They meet there at the picnic area or park area, playground area, isn't it? Playground area, I think, where they meet. And they walk. And then there's noon on Wednesday Bible study. Previously, it was said that August men's breakfast was canceled, but it is not. Pastor Steinbrecher and some other folks are going to help him with the men's breakfast. So men's breakfast is on for August the 13th if you want to participate in that. And if you want to do dishes and cook, you can do that too. He'll take your help. So anyway, there's going to be a membership class. If you want to be a member, the 14th is membership induction. So if you'd like to talk to Pastor about that. And there's going to be a baptism next week. So if you'd like to be baptized, make sure you talk to the pastor and have him talk to you about that also. So that'll take place next week. So busy, busy week for those that, at least for the pastor anyway, and maybe for some other folks. There's another song I heard coming, another thing I want to say before I sit down was, I heard a song, and you probably heard it too, But it kind of goes, the gist of it is, every saint has a past. You know? We're all saints, maybe not in the Roman Catholic Church sense of being a saint, but we're all saints if we're in Christ Jesus. The Bible says we're saints. Our robes are white. The saints' robes are washed white under the blood of Jesus. We're saints. And every saint has a past. Not one of us was born without sin. We've all been sinners. We've all had a past. We've all made failures. We've all had. But the nice part about this song is, and every sinner has a future. Every sinner can be saved. There's no one beyond the reach of Jesus Christ. There's no one beyond the reach of salvation. So we not hold ourselves too high up if we're a saint, because we've got a past that probably wasn't that perfect. Wasn't perfect. And there's no sense to look down on the sinner, because if he'll come to Jesus, he's got a future in heaven. Introduce Jesus Christ. Roxanne, please.
Thanks, Russ. Well, we certainly did have a great mission outreach this past week with the Bible school program. I was just thrilled with how well, and it was successful, so successful it was. We've had a lot of vacation Bible schools over the years. I remember the first one that I was involved with, we went out to the park in West Jeff, and we had three children come. So it certainly has grown over the years, hasn't it? And what a great mission outreach it. Everything we do here at church, and we reach out to the community, is a form of missions. And I'm just thrilled to be in a church that has such a broad outreach to different areas, locally and internationally. Coming up, we have some fun things. One thing that's going to be different that we've never done, well, years and years ago they did something like it. We're going to be helping with Help House on August the 15th. We already have all of our food preparers lined up, and if you have a spare hour, or maybe an hour and a half, on Monday, the 15th of August, we're going to meet here at the church at 10 o'clock once I confirm that's okay with Verna and make sure that it's open. She shook her head yes. And we're going to package the different items that we're putting in the individual meals so that they can be delivered later that day by Help House. And then in September, we have our mission conference. And the Charles family will be coming and spending time with us. They still live in West Jefferson, but that's where they started out from in their teaching profession. And they were missions in Ecuador for a number of years. So we had them here about 5 years ago, and it was very enjoyable. And they have two daughters. I don't know if they'll be able to come with them or not, but they will be talking with us and sharing their experience there in Ecuador. So mark those two things on your calendar if you can, and we just thank you for all that you do.
Good morning. Let's stand and sing, shall we? Soon and very soon, we are going to see the King.
Soon and very soon, we are going to see the King. Soon and very soon, we are going to see the King. Soon and very soon, we are going to see the King. Hallelujah, hallelujah, we're going to see the King. No more crying there, we are going to see the King. No more crying there, we are going to see the King. Hallelujah, we're going
King, aren't we? You did well on that. Hallelujah. You got him in there. That's good. Holy, holy, holy. Be ready. On the third verse now, we're going to sing three verses. On the first two, just sing out. On the third verse, really sing out. I'm going to pick up my horn, okay? Holy, 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 Lord. This is a real trumpet. What's that? This is a piccolo trumpet in the key of A, and the pipe that you have to put in there costs almost as much as a trumpet. But I played it for years. You do weddings, you do 1,600s worth of work. The music, Baroque music, is what you do with it. But it's nice because I can play a lot higher and I don't even feel it. Blessing and honor. Move a little bit this morning. You know it's hot, but
blessing and honor, glory and power be unto the Ancient of Days. From every nation, all of creation, bow before the Ancient of Days. Every tongue in heaven and earth shall declare your glory, every knee shall bow at your throne. In worship you will be exalted, O God, and your kingdom shall not pass away, O Ancient of Days. Blessing and honor, glory and power be unto the Ancient of Days. All of creation, now before the Ancient of Days. Every tongue in heaven and earth shall declare your glory, every knee shall bow at your throne. In worship you will be exalted, O God, and your kingdom shall not pass away, O Ancient of Days.
Your kingdom shall reign over all the earth. Sing to the Ancient of Days. For none can compare to your matchless birth. Sing to the Ancient of Days. Every tongue in heaven and earth shall declare your glory. Every knee shall bow at your call. In worship you will be exalted, O God, and your kingdom shall not pass away. O Ancient of Days, Ancient of Days, Ancient of Days.
Amen. Aren't you glad he's forever? He's eternal. Way ahead of us. Let's read, shall we? Titus 2:13-14, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. I sing praises to your name, O Lord.
I sing praises to your name, O Lord, praises to your name, O Lord, for your name is great and greatly to be praised. I sing praises to your name.
Blessing in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you. Maybe see.
Well, I didn't understand all the language you said about his piccolo trumpet or whatever, but it sounded impressive. I just knew that it shrunk from the original, so that's all I could tell. They have different sizes of those, like goes, how small is the smallest one they make? Okay, that's good. Anyway, any praises this morning, what the Lord's been doing? We know Pastor Shoup's out of the hospital, so we can praise the Lord for that. They're having a meeting this morning about Larry Cordell, about a pacemaker probably, to see what's going to go with him to get his heart regular. And I haven't heard much from Ernie. I've called him a couple times, and he sounded kind of groggy, so I don't know if anybody else has any information about what's going on. I know he broke his arm, He passed out while he was driving, hit a tree. I think he hit a tree and broke his arm. So I know he's in the hospital. I think it's 7th floor. When I tried to visit him, he wasn't there. They're moving him around for tests and then a CT scan and all this other stuff. So I didn't get a chance to see him there yet. So I might go here this week and see if he's still there, which I'm assuming he's going to be there for a while. He sounded pretty groggy when I talked to him, but I don't know if anybody else spoke to him this week at all or not, but that's the latest news that I have for him. So, and then you knew that Lois has been moved to Dublin. So if you want to visit her, Verna has the address. So she's in Dublin, different place now. So you can see her there if you need to. We had a great VBS this year. A lot of exciting things happening. The kids had a good time, and I think the people that worked there had a good time, and Verna had a good time because all the copies were done. Everything worked out well for the kids. They got a chance to hear about Jesus and accept him as their Savior, so a lot of hands went up. You know, if nothing else, it planted a seed. You can't say if they did or did accept him, but they planted a seed, and it was exciting to see all those little kids raise their hands. Chris used the Evangel Cube. It's a little cube that you fold out, and the kids can see different things about Christ and him in the grave and then being raised from the dead, and so those kind of things. So that was really exciting. They had good snacks, and the weather was good. We didn't get really a storm like we thought, but everything worked out here. And then at the end, I think it was Jeff and Ray, and I don't know who all else was helped put all stuff back in place. So it was, this place was totally cleared out of everything. So they had to put everything back in place. So my wife and girls are on their girl trip they take every year. So they're up in Michigan, which is awesome. I mean, the best state in the world. So I see that they're there. And I think they've had some rain, though, so I don't know. I haven't talked to them a lot. They've been going to the beach and things like that. So they've had a good time, and they'll be back tomorrow night sometime. So I'm surviving. I can make my own food and things, you know, so it's not no problem. If you want to make oatmeal cookies, though, if you feel sympathy, I like nuts in those, just in case you want to make those. So any other praises? You want to praise the Lord this morning for anything? What's going on?
Just want to thank you so much for your prayers for Jesse and the birth of our grandson, Ethan Liam. They're both doing well and on the mend, so we just praise God. They had a whole different experience this time around than last time because with Carter and Jesse before, both their lives were really kind of threatened the first time around, so they were really nervous going into this, and we just can't praise God enough for a different experience and how they pulled through it, and we just give them all the glory. Thank you for your prayers.
Anybody else?
I just want to praise God every morning, and I imagine that you all do, but if you're having a rough day, don't forget to praise the Lord. I didn't know how in the world I was going to have time to do VBS. I do it to myself every year. But I'll tell you, he brought me through, and it was such a joyful time. And if you pray and God lays it on your heart to do something, don't worry about how you're going to get it done, because he'll get it done for you. Just follow the lead and give him the praise.
I want to thank you all for praying for my mom. It's been rough seeing my mom these last few weeks, but she's doing better. And again, she lives alone, so just pray that God's will, because, you know, being alone at 86 and on the other side of Springfield, it's too far from me and my sisters. So we just pray for God's will, whatever. And yesterday she had a good day, the day before she didn't, so she's kind of up and down. The biggest problem she's feeling with this COVID is tremors that she's been having. And so these come and go. So we're gonna schedule a neurologist to look at her. And she goes to see her medical doctor August 2nd. Her other medical doctor was on vacation, so we couldn't get her in any sooner. So we started a new medical doctor on August 2nd that's gonna review her. But anyhow, when you get to be that old, especially and having COVID, you know, it takes its toll on the younger people. The average for younger people to get over it's 2 weeks. So when you're 86, it's even that much longer, the nursing staff said. So, and pray for our nurses, our doctors. Don't forget them, because, you know, they've had a long road with this COVID. And they have to go in every day and try to help people. And it's just really hard on them. And my heart goes out to them. So, again, just remember them and remember my mom.
When I moved back to West Jefferson, I befriended a girl that lived with her mom in my little court. And since then, she's gone through so much trouble, struggles, lost her job. But the main thing I want you for prayer for is that she's a drug addict. And I'm friends with her on Facebook, and I found out last night that she's pregnant with her third child. And she's in a halfway house. She has nothing. No, you know, no baby bed, no nothing. And I asked for prayer for her because I have an addiction lifestyle. I know what it's like to be an addict. And it's not a fun thing to be. So if you could just remember her in prayer. Her name is Paige. Thank you.
Fran is going to be released from the Madison House the 17th. We feel it's God's wish to bring her to bring her home, because that's what she wants. And pray for me to help take care of her, because I'll have my hands full. And I know God will help me. And I've got some help lined up. But we're going to need all the prayer we can get. Thank you.
I just would like to ask the congregation really to be in prayer, as our music committee is meeting this week to try to see how the Holy Spirit is going to lead a new choir director to us. And keep praying, really deep in your heart, pray that the Lord will send us a music director who will just be filled with the Holy Spirit and be able to direct the music and direct the choir. And we have such a need for that special person. And I know God has someone out there for us. Please, please be in prayer about our new choir director that we just trust the Lord's going to send us. Thank you.
Okay, let's pray this morning. Father, thanks for bringing us here this morning. Lord, you've heard the requests for the ones who are in the hospital, the ones who are sick, the ones who have COVID, these with addictions, Lord, the search for the right person to be here for leading music. Thank you for the recovery of those who've had COVID and have come through it, and they're back with us again. Be with Pam and Sam as they've had it or still have it. They're working through that, so protect them as well. And for Fran as she comes home, and Larry to help them out work with her. Dee and Donna, we think about them as well and the struggles that they're going through health-wise and things. And Lord, the ones who are not here this morning, for whatever reason they may be gone, that you'd be with them. Let them know that you're there and you love and care for them, whether they're visiting somewhere or if they're sick or if they're in another church visiting someone or visiting family, whatever it may be. We pray you'd be with them and just guide and direct them. Show them, Lord, that they're loved and they're cared for, that we miss them. Thank you, Lord, for those who have come this morning. Pray for you to be here with us this morning, Lord, as you've been in the worship. Be with us in the message also, and just draw us together as a body. Help us to leave here different than we came in, that we're equipped to share about Jesus Christ. Lord, just fill us with love for others. Help us to look at those as being somebody that you love and care for. Father, we give you the praise and ask you to be with all our requests this morning for Joy's mom and the different ones that have been made. And we just thank you for this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you.
Well, good morning, everyone. I missed a week because we had Pastor Roy last week, didn't we? So, the Bikers for Christ. Everybody is a somebody. I've thought about that for probably a week or two now. First came to me because someone said to me, somebody ought to do that. I thought, you're right. But you know what? We're all somebodies. Maybe when you say somebody ought to do that, maybe that somebody's you. You ever think about that? Somebody should, and you're like, maybe I should do that. Some people say they feel like a nobody, but I think God thinks differently of us, doesn't he? Genesis 1:27, so God created man in his own image. In the image of likeness of God, he created him male and female. He created them. Everybody that's ever loved, ever lived, or is living, or ever has lived, is created in the image of God. We got to think about that. There are male and female, man and woman. But the verse doesn't mean we look like God physically. Because we don't know what God looks like, do we? We've never seen him in physical form except in Jesus. So we know what Jesus looks like. We don't know what form God has. GotQuestions.org says, on the last day of creation, God said, let us make man in our own image, in our likeness. He finished his work with a personal touch, and he formed Adam from the dust and gave him life by breathing his breath into him. And humanity is unique among all God's creation because we have both a material body and a spirit, don't we? Body, soul, spirit. But the image or likeness of God means, in the simplest terms, we're made to resemble God, but not physically. Adam didn't resemble God in the sense of having God's flesh and blood, but he had God's spirit, didn't he? So being made in the image of God, imago Dei, refers to the spiritual part of humanity, I think. It refers to our spirit. It sets us apart from the animals and enables us to hear and to talk with God. You don't hear animals talking to God, do you? Or hearing from God. They're animals. But we're made to rule over those. We're made to be above them. We can invent machines and write books and paint a landscape and enjoy a symphony, calculate a sum, or name a pet. And these things show us that we're made in God's image. We have an intellect, we have a mind, we have a spirit inside of us that feels things as well. Creation was finished. God said it's very good. And as human beings, we have a conscience and a moral compass, don't we? We know what's right and wrong. Some people would decide to refuse to listen to that moral compass, to do whatever they want to do, to not worry about others, to not have a conscience per se. But when somebody writes a law or recoils from evil or praises good behavior or feels guilty, he or she is confirming the fact that God made us in his image and we have his spirit within us. But we're created for fellowship, aren't we? To fellowship with one another. We're not created to be single individuals out there living our lives alone. But he talks about us being a body of Christ, doesn't he? Where we all work together, we all help each other, we all pray for each other. We all direct each other, guide each other, and sometimes correct each other, saying, I'm not sure you're heading down the right path. Maybe you should consider that. And one of the biggest things is to pray for each other. I'm praying for you. I know you're going through a rough time. I know you, things are hurting. I know you're not sure what's going to happen. And you're not sure where your next job is, what you're supposed to do, how to interact with your kids because you don't understand what they're doing. But in Eden, man's primary relationship was God. With God was fellowship. It was a fellowship with God. And then he said it's not good for man to be alone. So he made woman, didn't he? As a helper, as a helpmate, to come alongside. But every time somebody marries or makes a friend or hugs a child or attends a church, he's demonstrating the fact that he's in God's likeness and image, that we need fellowship, we need to draw together. And being part of God's image is that Adam had the capacity to make a free choice. We have a chance to make a free choice, don't we? You can choose to accept or reject Christ. You can choose to do this or to do that. You can choose to ask for God's guidance or not ask for his guidance. So we have a choice. There's consequences in those choices. Adam and Eve made the wrong choice. They chose to eat of the tree of good and evil, didn't they? They were told not to, but they did it anyway. Do we still have that kind of nature sometimes today? Any of your kids, you ever say, don't do that, and they did it anyway? Or maybe God tells you, don't do that, and you do it anyway, and then there's a consequence. You're like, God, why are you picking on me? He's like, well, I told you not to do it. You did it anyway. But creation's been marred a little bit, damaged because of what Adam and Eve did. But we still bear God's image, even though we have some scars. What do scars mean? They mean we've been injured, but hopefully that injury is healed. That's a memory of you. Remember when I did that? Remember when that happened to me there? But hopefully it's a healing process. Sometimes mentally, morally, socially, physically, we have the effects of sin in our lives. But God can heal those things. Good news is when he redeems us, he restores us to the original image. We're a new self, a new creation, that God makes us new. He helps us to be righteous and holy. That's something we can't attain in ourselves, can we? We can't attain righteousness and holiness ourselves. It only happens through God. And that redemption or being redeemed is only by God's grace, by accepting Christ as our Savior. How many people out there are trying to do things without the Lord? Look at the books and the steps and all these things you see people are trying to do without having God in their life and wonder why they're failing. Wonder why they're not happy. There's nothing consistent in their life. But we're made in the likeness of God. Now, you probably heard that in your family when you have brothers and sisters and they say, I can tell you're all part of the same family because you all look alike. When our kids get together with somebody, they can tell, oh, yeah, I can tell who your parents are. You look just like your dad or just like your mom or whatever it is. And hopefully, spiritually, people can say that about us. I know who your father is because you look just like him. That means you act like him. You treat other people like him, like he would. Not like others would, but like he would. Well, there's a story I read about this week. There's a man who volunteered at a local Bibles for Missions store. He was there once or twice a week, and he enjoyed the social aspect as well as being able to help with what was needed. The one thing he enjoyed the most was going through bags and bags of clothes that people donated. So the clothes came in, he had to sort through them. Some clothes were beautiful, to die for clothing, while others were worthless. They had holes or zippers that didn't work. They were so dirty that no amount of washing could ever get them clean. Clothes that end up in the recycling. And Bible submissions got paid by the pound. These clothes can be compared to people's lives. If they were people, would God see them as worthless? Interesting illustration. Even the most beautiful looking people have some cuts and holes and missing buttons. Does God love us less because we have some physical and emotional disability? Does he love us less because we're separated or divorced or because we're on drugs? The list is endless. God loves each of us the same way. Do you love your children any less when they disobey? You're disappointed, but you still love them, don't you? It doesn't change your love for them, the same with us. It doesn't change how God loves us, even when we disobey him. We're all somebody to God. We're all important to him. It doesn't matter your faults or your problems, but he sees you as special for a purpose if you submit to him and do what he wants you to do. Here's an example of somebody who thought he was a nobody, but God knew he was somebody that he could use. Judges chapter 6. The Israelites had sinned against God, and as a result, the Lord lifted his protection over them. And the surrounding nations ravaged their crops and killed their livestock, and they were forced to live in a mountain cleft and caves for protection. Some lived in tents. They cried out to the Lord for help, and he sent a prophet who told them what they had done wrong. That's the first part of the chapter. Then you get into verse 11. It says, the angel of the Lord came and sat down under the oak tree in Ophrah that belonged to Joash, the Abizrite, where his son Gideon was threshing wheat in a winepress to keep it from the Midianites. When the angel of the Lord appeared to Gideon, he said, the Lord is with you, mighty warrior. So this is a guy hiding basically from the enemy. He's threshing his wheat in a winepress so they can't find it, so they can't get it and take it. He's trying to provide for his family. He's not a prince or a king. He's just a man trying to provide food for his family. But the Lord calls him mighty warrior, and he says, the Lord is with you. But in the eyes of the community, Gideon's not a leader. He hears what the angel says, and he has a response. So this is how he responds. Pardon me, my Lord, but if the Lord is with us, why has all this happened to us? Where are all his wonders that our ancestors told us about when they said, did not the Lord bring us out of Egypt? But now the Lord has abandoned us and given us into the hand of Midian. Pretty good question, wasn't it? God, if you say you're with us, then what's going on? Why are these people overthrowing us? Why are they killing our livestock and burning our fields and taking our crops and all these things? If they've done all these things, you've done all these things in the past for them, then where are you? Is that how we react sometimes when bad things happen to us? God, where are you in all this? Where did you go? When he's actually right there with us. We just sometimes don't realize it. But I notice the thing that's interesting is the Lord doesn't answer his question. He doesn't say, well, I'm right here. He doesn't say anything about that. He goes on and gives him a directive instead. He said, the Lord turned to him and said, go in the strength you have and save Israel out of Midian's hand. Am I not sending you? And I'm like, did we just read that right? The Lord told Gideon, a nobody, to go in the strength he has and save Israel. He's sending him. Is God making a mistake? Is this the right guy? I don't think I would have picked Gideon. He didn't seem like a big, strong warrior or very intelligent or anybody special. He wasn't a super soldier. And Gideon realized it too. Because he says, pardon me, Lord, but how can I save Israel? My clan is the weakest in Manasseh, and I'm the least in my family. You ever feel like that? God asks you to do something, how can I do it? I'm nobody. I don't have any gifts in that area. I don't have any ability in that area, but you're asking me to do something that I can't do? And he says, yeah, you're right. I am. Because I don't want you to do it. I want me to do it through you. That's when you see God do amazing things. So here it is. Gideon says, hey, God, are you thinking that I can save Israel? Don't you know that my family's the weakest family and I'm a nobody in my family? So Gideon's thinking, I'm not prepared for this. I can't do this. You picked the wrong guy. My family's weak and I'm the weakest in the family. And you're asking me to do this? Basically, the Lord tells Gideon, I don't care if your clan is the weakest and if you think you're a nobody, because in me, in my eyes, you're somebody, and I'm going to use you to conquer the Midianites, every single one. He's saying, basically, Gideon's not based on who you are. It's based on who I am. And I can do amazing things through you. If you read the rest of the story, you'll see that's exactly what he does. He tears down the Asherah pole and breaks down their altars. And then he selects his men, and he gets down to, 300 men, and he defeats the Midianites and all that stuff that goes on. So God does use him because he's faithful to do what God tells him to do, even when it doesn't seem reasonable. He's like, how are you going to use me? I'm nothing. God says, you're nothing, but with me, you're somebody. So Gideon thought he was a nobody, but God used him, and he found out that he was somebody. How many feel like that today? I'm a nobody. I'm not special. Wonder if God can use me. I've done too many things wrong. The enemy likes to use that against us and say, you've done all this. You can't do that. You can't serve God. You're not where you should be. Sometimes we think that our sin is so bad that we can't be forgiven. We think God can never wash us clean. But God can forgive anything, no matter how unforgivable we think it is. Because he loves us more than words can express. We know he sent his son to die for us on the cross. All we have to do is humble ourselves and admit we have a problem. A lot of times we don't admit we have any problem. I don't have any problem. They have a problem. I don't have a problem. Usually it comes to us first. I have a problem. Maybe when I fix my problem, maybe we won't have a problem anymore. Instead of pointing to somebody else, yeah, it's your problem. You did that. Instead of, well, maybe I did something wrong. Maybe I need to look at myself first and see where I am. That can be a hard thing to do, but we can do it. We need to trust that he's going to forgive us, to carry our sins away.
Because God sees us as somebody worth dying for. Doesn't it say, greater love is no man than this, that he gives his life for his friend? That's a big thing, isn't it, when you give your life for somebody else? So the God of the universe gave his life for us. I heard this little quote today, or yesterday. It says, we're all people, we're all somebody. We all came into the world the same way. When we start thinking we're better than somebody else and we're more privileged than they are or they're so bad or whatever, we all came into the world the same way, didn't we? We're all human beings. We're all people. God sees us with potential. He sees us special in his eyes. We need to recognize that in others, that everybody is somebody to God. We're all part of his creation. Doesn't matter what race or what color or what you believe. We're all part of his creation. Gideon didn't think he was much, but God saw that he was more. Galatians 3:28 says, there's neither Jew nor Greek, there's neither slave nor free, male or female, for you are all one in Christ. God sees us all the same, and he wants everybody to love and call on his name. We all have the same opportunity to be saved, to become one of God's children. We all have that opportunity. Not everybody takes it, though, do they? We can tell them, we can't force them. Say, this is what I believe, this is what the Bible says. This is the result of accepting Christ, heaven. This is the result of not accepting Christ, which is hell. Eternal damnation. We don't like to talk about that. You're an eternal being. You're going to live forever. You have the choice of where you're going to spend that eternity, in heaven or hell. If you don't accept Christ, you're not going to make it to heaven. That's not a gray area. Remember that little song? I am somebody because God loves me, and I'm accepted just the way that I am. His love is higher and deeper and wider, and you and I will never understand. A little tune. Anybody ever sang that before? Never heard that song? It's a good song. I am somebody because God loves me, and I'm accepted just the way that I am. His love is higher, deeper and wider. You and I will never understand. Just keep that going in your mind, in your mind, in your mind. I don't sing very much on my own, you know, so. But that song in your mind, to go over and over that in your mind, that you're somebody. The world is constantly telling you that you're nobody, that you don't matter. They'll make choices for you. They'll tell you what to do, what to believe, how to do this, how to do that. But you're somebody that makes a difference. Your one opinion, your one vote, your one action, your one testimony can make a difference in somebody else's life. Because everybody's a somebody to the Lord. We may not understand God's love, but it doesn't change the fact that he loves us and that we're somebody to him. We may not feel worthy of his love, but it doesn't change the fact that he loves us. Trish Hunter says, something we know but don't always think about, our enemy the devil is always accusing us regarding our past. Always bringing up things you've been forgiven for. Remember when you did that? You need to say, you know what? God covered it with his blood. It's forgiven. I don't need to keep hearing it anymore. So shut up and quit telling me about it. Right? God said it's forgiven, and it's forgiven. So in Jesus' name, I rebuke you. The Bible says he's the accuser of God's children. He constantly tells us you're not good enough. God's angry with you. You can't do anything right. Nobody loves you. You're a nobody. You'll never amount to anything. Anybody ever hear those thoughts in your mind that go on? Especially when you mess something up. Like, I can't do it. I give up. Did you know those thoughts are not from God? He's not telling you that. The hateful thoughts are from the enemy. He comes to kill, steal, and destroy everything about you. He wants you to think you're not important to God, that you're nobody, to focus on the hurt, the criticism, the derogatory comments that have come your way, so that you miss the good that God has for you. He wants you to see the bad so you don't see the good that you have, that you are, that you've done, that you can do. That's why it's important to read the Word, to see what God really says. You can see it in print. You can read it and say, this is what God says. This is true. This is real. 1 Peter 2:9 says, you've been chosen by God himself. People may overlook you. They may reject you. But that's okay because the one who matters the most accepts you. You can go somewhere and somebody can say something. You can come home to your family and they can say, you know, I love you and I care for you and it makes all the difference. And they'll say, it doesn't matter what they say. That doesn't make it true. But you know that I love and care for you. You're not randomly chosen. God has a purpose. He says he wants you for his own, his son and his daughter. All you have to do is accept them. Why do we keep going over accepting Christ? Because we tend to forget sometimes, don't we? We tend to wander off and think, I can do this on my own. Well, you can't. You need God in your life. Maybe you're told you're too old or too small or too big or too young. But God says, you're just right. You're just the way I made you. You're perfect the way you are. Give what you have to me and see what I can do with it. God says, you're fearfully and wonderfully made. No matter what you've thought or what people have said, the truth remains you're talented, creative, intelligent. You're amazing. You just have to believe it. You're somebody because God loves you. What if you told your kids every day that? You're talented, you're creative, you're amazing, and you're loved. How many things would that get them through at school with the bullying and all the things that happen there that they don't have to believe? When you feel the sting of rejection, instead of getting down on yourself and losing your sense of value, you need to say, I'm disappointed and it hurts, but I know God loves me no matter what. He controls the universe and he's chosen me. Maybe the coach didn't pick me. Maybe the boss didn't pick me. Maybe my friend didn't pick me. But God picked me. He chose me. He has a plan for me that's good, and he has a future and a hope. So when you start feeling yourself as handpicked by God, you start feeling valued, loved, created with a purpose, and your attitude changes. Instead of being, I'm not worthless, I'm worth something. We've all had hurt and disappointment, but God tells us in Romans 8 that all things work for good to those who love him, men are called according to his purpose. What's the condition in there? Those who love him. We love him, then we're called to his purpose. And he works for our good. Sometimes you have to dig your heels in, refuse to allow somebody to put you down or make you feel inferior. It doesn't come from your accomplishments, though. It comes from the Lord. To hold your head up and say, I'm God's child, I'm somebody. Can you remind yourself today that you're somebody and that God loves you? And it doesn't matter what the world says, it matters what God says. In God's eyes, everybody's a somebody. Because you're somebody, you can make a difference in the lives of others. This is the challenge for today. Be somebody who makes everybody feel like a somebody. That's a big task, isn't it? Make everybody feel like a somebody. People come into church sometimes and they'll sit in the back and leave and nobody talks to them. I don't think it happens here, but I've had it happen to me when I've gone to places. They all talk to each other and I feel like, was I even there? Did they even see me? That happens in groups. It happens all over the place. In stores and whatever, when people come up and talk to somebody and then the other person's kind of just left out to the side. They don't say, oh, this is my friend Jeff. Or this is my neighbor Mary. They just talk and then they walk away and the person's like, well, who was that? Well, that was my neighbor. Well, you didn't introduce me. So I think sometimes we need to make sure that we're the person that makes everybody feel like a somebody. Make that your goal this week. Ask God to help you find people that feel like nobody so you can tell them that they're somebody. That through Christ, they're somebody special, aren't they? So let's pray. Father, we just thank you for this day, for this morning. Thank you for the message you've given us through your word, that you love us, you care for us, that we are somebody through you, but we need to make that choice of accepting you. If there's anybody, Lord, that hasn't accepted you this morning, I pray that they would ask you to come in their life and be their Savior. And Lord, for those of us who do know you, let us have people that come in contact with this week that we can help them feel important and feel special and let them know that God loves them. Guide and direct us this week. Lord, protect us to be with those who need a healing touch. your name. Amen.
Stand and sing it this morning. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me.
We've all experienced the grace of God. And as Pastor said, may we take the grace that God has extended to us and made real in our own lives. May we extend that grace to the people we come in contact with so they understand the grace of God. Isn't it good to be in the house of the Lord? It really has. Go in peace. Thank you.